This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Valley Football First and Goal, the official podcast of the Missouri Valley Football Conference on the lineupmedia.fm network. Now, your host, Kelly Burke.
Edition of our MVFC First and Goal, we are going behind the mic with Jerry Kill, the Associate Athletic Director at Kansas State for football. And of course, most Valley fans know him as the former SIU coach. Coach, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to joining you here for a little bit.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. Well, as I just mentioned, you know, you're the Associate Athletic Director for football at Kansas State. So what are your day-to-day duties right now, and what's the adjustment been like going to the other side of football?
Well, it's been an adjustment. There's no question about that. But I've been fortunate that Coach Snyder's been great to me, and you know, kind of a typical day is coming in and making sure, you know, from the equipment to the training room, everybody's, you know, doing all right, got what they need. Check with coach, and then, you know, sometimes, you know, they want me to, hey, you know, watch a little film, and so they keep me close to football. And then from administrative side, you know, basically, I guess the best way to put it is kind of like a general manager, so to speak, and they really, in a lot of administration, they have people that are raising money nowadays, and that's what they do, and so they really hired me to come in and be the spokesman for the coaches. So I'm kind of like the representation of the coaches when we go to the meetings. And so I do a lot of things. I'm around the players a lot. If I need to counsel a player, I do that. So I'm around kids. I'm around football. I'm around basketball. You know, and I see a lot of different people. And so it's different, but in some ways it's not a lot different.
That makes sense. You know, mentoring has always been very important to you. You have so many former players that are now on the coaching side of things. You know, I know this week you'll see Justin Kramer, who was one of your former players, who's now an assistant at Missouri State. There's so many coaches at SIU, most notably Nick Hill, who's the head coach at SIU, who I know he says he talks to you almost on a daily basis, and you were here in town in Carbondale for his first win as a head coach. And so how does it make you feel to see the success that they're all having, and how do you continue to shape all of, you know, your former players who are now coaches?
Well, I first of all, I was excited for Nick and to be there for his first win, and the other thing is that means I'm getting old, but it's great to see former players and people that you work with get opportunities. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 other guys on the staff there at Southern that I've, you know, either mentored or actually coached, Marty Rogers being one of them. So it's exciting to see, you know, what they're doing, and you know, all those young men are ahead of me on the coaching curve when I started. So, you know, I'm happy for them, and I'm proud of all of them.
Before it was the Missouri Valley Conference, it was the Gateway Conference when you were at SIU. Compare the conference then to now.
Well, I think it's tougher. I mean, I do. And then when I was there, you know, you had North Dakota State, South Dakota State. You had those schools, and certainly North Dakota State, they proved what they, you know, did again, you know, beating Iowa. So it's much tougher than it was when I was there. You know, the players, you know, continue to get better in the conference. But Nick understands that. Now, if we had the players we had way back, you know, you can compete with those people. And as Mike Reese says, it comes down to players. You know, Nick's doing it. He'll do a good job recruiting the type of kids you got to have to compete with those people.
You know, the Big Ten has banned scheduling FCS teams after this year. Do you think some of the Power Five conferences, you know, like the Big 12, will eventually go that route? And do you think it's good or bad for the game?
Well, you know, coming from the roots that I came from, I think that it hurts the smaller schools. And to me, we're all in it together, and I'd like to see us not do that. But in reality, you're talking about money. And I think the power conferences, and I was a part of it, it's about money. It's a business, a multi-million-dollar business. So, I don't know if there's going to be much anybody can do about it. I know the Big 12 still hanging in there with the philosophy they have, and but we'll just have to see it. It's hard to control the future.
Yeah. You kind of just touched on North Dakota State, beating 13th ranked Iowa over the weekend. This coming weekend, you guys, Kansas State, you play Missouri State. You've coached on both sides of a game like this, and obviously without going into any X's and O's or any sort of game plan, what should the approach be for each team going into a game like this?
Well, I think the big thing is being on the other side, and if I was them, I'd be saying, "Hey, this is our bowl game. This is our bowl game. This is our opportunity to make history at the school. We can go up and play, with them, etc." And then on our side of it is, "Hey, we got to get better. We got to get better. We got to cut down on penalties. We got to do all the little things to get ready for conference play." So, I think that, it's two different camps and two different perspectives going in. But I know our head coach is one of those. Coach Snyder's one that preparation's important. So I know that we'll be ready.
Speaking of Coach Snyder, you have so many killisms, and you certainly in the book that just came out, Chasing Dreams, they list a whole bunch in a chapter in the back. Who coined that term, killisms, and how has Coach Snyder taken to your various killisms since you've joined Kansas State?
Well, that's the problem when you have these authors of the books. They call up everybody, and they try to find out all the inside information, and then people are willing to give it to them. So I don't even remember some of them, but you are who you are, and I think people get a kick out of them, and they've always said my English has always been a little bit different. So you are who you are, but I appreciate all those people that had fun doing that.
Yeah. And so how is the Kansas State program? Have they welcomed them, or do they give you a hard time about them?
I think that I give enough out that I deserve a hard time. So, it's been good. They understand old Kansas kid from Cheney, Kansas. So I think most people get a kick out of it, and I don't even know what I say half the time. So I don't worry about it too much.
Yeah. There was a time that you used to say that the FCS level was the best level to coach, better than FBS and better than Division II. But now that you've coached at all the different levels, I wonder, do you still feel that way?
I do. I mean, I love coaching in Minnesota. I've loved every stop, and it's been great. And they all have their advantages and disadvantages. But at the 1AA level, you can still recruit a kid that somebody may not take, and you just have to offer him a small scholarship. And you're still putting 85 kids on scholarship. It's just a different way. And I think the level of football and the importance of it is where it needs to be, and you don't have so much money controlling all that. So I still think that's a great level of football, and one I enjoyed a whole lot in my time.
It's approaching a year coming up in October since you walked away from coaching, due to some health concerns. What have you learned about yourself over the last 11 months?
Well, the one thing is that I've been able to see the doctor. I've been able to find what I need to do, and living life differently than I ever was before. On a special diet just for epilepsy patients. I'm exercising more. It's sleeping better. I sleep in 2.5, 3 hours a night for about 10 years. So
Yeah.
all those things are better. But a lot of people said, "Coach, why didn't you change it, you know, earlier?" I never had time to change it in coaching. So, but I have no regrets. I mean, I had a great career, and I'm still involved. You know, I'm just not coaching, and you know, I don't look back and I don't say, "Well, I've been blessed." And I've coached a lot of great places, a lot of great kids, and won a lot of games. So, you know, I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like you said, you're around the game on a daily basis, which is great. Do you miss the actual coaching aspect of it? Or, I mean, it sounds like you're still really, you know, involved in that side of it.
Absolutely miss it. I miss it every day. And I'm not going to say that it's not tough. I'm not going to say that there's days I go, you know, why, you know, maybe I can still do it. I'll never be a head coach again. I don't think that's in my cards, but I do miss it. And I miss the interaction with the kids. And even though I do it, it's, you know, or I'll be watching the game and want to say something and I can't, you know. And when you're really relaxed on the sideline, it's amazing what you do see. And you know, so I do. I miss it every day, and it's hard.
You know, what inspired you to write your book, Chasing Dreams, Living My Life One Yard at a Time?
Well, I think the biggest thing was when I was trying to get all my life straightened out, I needed something, and I had an opportunity to do a lot of speaking throughout the country. And then the author had reached out to me about 3 years ago, and I said, you know, why not get all this stuff straightened out? And I went to Florida and walked the beach and put my headsets on, and he called and interviewed me, and that's how the book was written. But, you know, I thought if I could make a difference in somebody's life, if they could get one or two nuggets out of it, that might help them. And the other part of it, all the proceeds, you know, go to both foundations, and I felt that was a good way to raise some money, which we have.
You know, speaking of the foundations, you're obviously really active in the Coach Kill Cancer Fund and the Chasing Dreams Coach Kill Epilepsy Fund. You know, what do you consider your most important role right now?
Well, I think my most important role is to raise money. I mean, you know, in Southern Illinois, certainly there's a struggle, and well, the whole state for that matter, but is that I know they need money. And it's hard to raise money just in Southern Illinois because there's not a lot. So I've kind of gone to my outside sources outside the state, and we were able to bring some money from out of state people that want to help just through connections. Minnesota's easier to raise money, bigger place, bigger city, you know, and the state's in better shape. So, you know, we really got to find a way to keep our cancer fund going. So, you know, we're doing everything we can to keep up. And, you know, we had a successful signing event, and we're still figuring out how much money that it's going to bring in, but it'll be a good amount. And we just got to keep working at it. But certainly a tough time for Southern Illinois people and actually the state of Illinois.
Yeah. And will you continue to do book tours throughout the country? I know you did some stuff in Minnesota as well.
Yeah, I'm going to go, you know, from Wichita to Kansas City. I may even go to, I've had some requests possibly to go to New York and that area. So I'm going to work all year to promote the book. And, you know, anybody that does read it, I think it's important to get on Amazon if you do like the book, because the more positive that goes, then the more books we sell. So, I mean, we want to sell every book we can because, again, it's helping somebody.
Yeah. You know, you like to read. What are one or two books that you've read over the last 11 months that have really impacted you?
Well, I think that, you know, Uncommon by Tony Dungy is a great book for people to go out and buy. I mean, I think it's a special book and can help people. Like, it just gives a lot of nuggets out that can help. And and then Coach Snyder's book is going to work for him and want to know some things. So so those two have been kind of the most recent books.
Do you see, you know, you played versus a few Missouri Valley teams after you left SIU and went to Northern Illinois and then obviously on to Minnesota. Do you see more Missouri Valley schools investing more money? You know, and if so, where do you see the investment going? Would it be coaches' salaries, facilities? what do you kind of envision the future of this conference?
Well, you know, all the way back to Division II at Pittsburgh State, they're paying a lot more money than they ever did when I was there. And in 1AA, the salaries have gone up. You look at the, you know, coach at Illinois State's done a great job, and they're paying him $300,000 a year for his, you know, he deserves it. He's done a heck of a job. So I think the money's gone up in the Missouri Valley as well as Division II. And, you know, I think that it's the same thing. You know, schools are going to try to continue to compete with North Dakota State, and to do that, they're going to keep working to build nice facilities and keep the coaches there as much as they can, which is difficult to do with the salaries that they're playing at the Division I level. But Southern Illinois has done, I mean, the facilities at Southern Illinois, you know, they're as good as anybody in 1AA. You know, and now they, you know, we need to win.
Yeah. I got a chuckle out of in your book when you were talking about the old facilities at McAndrews Stadium and that press box, that the little trailer that was just kind of hoisted up on two little rigs.
Yeah, they hid that from me when I took the job, and I was always worried because Coach Clays and Coach Limegrover were bigger people. I was afraid they're going to fall through it. And Kelly, I'm glad you never had to go up there, did you?
I did actually. My very first season moving to town, I was like the last season at McAndrew, and so I did actually have to endure it for 1 year.
Oh my gosh! If I'd have been there, I'd never done that to you. That you're taking life in your own hands. So yeah, I don't know if anybody can say they ever worked in a worse stadium than we did. But you know what? That old stadium won a lot of games, and I think our players were tough and mentally tough because of that old stadium. And as I told Nick, I said, now they're in the new stadium, they can't become soft. I think we've become a little soft, and I think we, you know, we got to get tougher, and I've told him that.
Yeah. You know, now that you've had a chance to be around Coach Snyder and his staff, you know, on a day-to-day basis, you know, what are some things that you've learned from him?
Well, you know, Coach, you come to Kansas State, you come down Bill Snyder Highway, then you got Bill Snyder's family stadium, then you got a statue out in front, so you get a chance to work with an icon. And, you know, I wish I'd have worked under him a couple years before I became a head coach. I mean, there's, you know, I think there's just the way he teaches and certain things he does on the field. You know, he's a unique, and how he's been able to win here. So, I mean, there's a lot of things. You can learn something from Coach Snyder every day if you listen. And that's what I tell our players. They need to listen more, because if you listen to what the man says, you're going to win. And he's a great teacher of life, not football only, a great teacher of life.
You know, in talking to so many people that have known you over the years, one thing that they all say is that you really are the exact same person, you know, as you were 20 years ago. And that, you know, being in these high profile positions over the years hasn't changed you. How have you been able to stay humble through everything, you know, and just keep things in perspective and not let it go to your head, so to say?
Well, I don't think, you know, in my position is the way I was raised. And I think that I always said, I remember when I was at the lower levels and I talked to high profile coach, wouldn't give you the time of day. And I said, if I ever got in that situation, I'd never do that to anybody. And so I'm blessed where I was at. And I had a blessed career, and I said I'd never change, you know, and I haven't changed. If it was my way, I'd wear blue jeans to work every day, cowboy boots, and just an old T-shirt. So, I mean, that's who I was, and of course, I had to change. Every once in a while, I wear what I want to just to rouse some people up, but make the administration nervous. But you are who you are, and you can't forget where you come from. And let me tell you what, a lot of people, they make a little money, and they forget where they come from, you know, it's something that I said I never do, and I haven't.
Yeah. How are you enjoying being back in your home state?
Well, being back in the home state it's been good. You know, my mom is only 2 hours away, so she was able to come to the game last week, and she's coming back up this week because it's her birthday. Rebecca's mom's only 2 hours away. She lives in Kansas City. She's 90 years old. So, you know, you get to see some family that you haven't seen in over 20 years. So that part of it's good. The tough part is we're still 7.5, 8 hours from both girls. And I don't know if we'll ever get both those girls where I like to have them, you know. But yeah. I know Tasha's never going to leave Southern Illinois. So we kept our lake house there. And I don't know if we can get Crystal down there. That would be the whole work that we got to do. She likes the city.
Yeah. Are you putting the pressure on for a grandkid, you and Rebecca, yet?
No. Well, Rebecca says she's not, but she is. And, you know, they're, you know, Jason and her are having the time of their lives and enjoying life, and always telling, you know, you need to enjoy life a little bit before you have children and do what you want to do, because having a child changes your life for the good. Yeah. But at the same time, you got to be ready for that, because, you know, you do that, you know, that's what you're going to be committed to.
Well, Coach, you know, I thank you so much for taking the time today. I don't want to eat up too much of your time. I know you're on a tight time schedule, so to say. But I look forward to seeing you and Rebecca at some point here when you're back visiting Southern Illinois.
Well, I'd love to do that. And I will tell you that I'm proud of you and what you've accomplished. And, you know, it's hard to, you know, I went out and chased my dream and took a chance or two, and you've taken a chance or two, you're very successful, and you got a lot of great things going. And so I wish you luck in your career, and I know you'll do well.
Well, thank you. That means a lot to me.
Well, you take care.
Okay, you too. Thanks so much, Coach. I really appreciate it.
Tune in next week for another episode of Valley Football's First and Goal with Kelly Burke, the official podcast of the Missouri Valley Football Conference, only on the lineupmedia.fm network. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.